Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to celebrate Wisconsin's archaeology for the first 45 minutes of the show today as we visit with Ernie Bozard of Lodi, Wisconsin, retired from the Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center after 29 years, and current president of the Wisconsin Archaeology Society. Ernie, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. Nice to be here.
And John Broyhan has been with us in the past as well, is the state archaeologist of Wisconsin. John, good to see you again, too.
Good to see you again, Larry.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Well, as we talk about the archaeology of the state, this is Archaeology Month, of course, so there are some great activities, events planned. I certainly want to talk with them about some of those events, especially the annual Artifact Identification Day, which is coming up at UW-Baraboo, Sauk County on May 15th. That's one event, but we'll talk about some others as well and certainly try to answer your questions as we move along. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email it at talk@wpr.org. John, here we have archaeology. So it's the past. Why do we need to celebrate its importance?
Well, I think for a variety of reasons, Larry. I think people are interested in the past and curious about it just to learn about when things happened and why they happened. But I also think people look to the past to help them figure out what's going on today and maybe plan for the future. Ernie and I are particularly interested in the preservation of archaeological sites, places that have a important historic value. And when you start talking about the preservation of sites for cultural reasons or archaeological reasons, you're also really weaving that into the protection of the landscape and conservation issues and things like that. So we think those things blend together very, very well.
I guess I would certainly agree with that. The Wisconsin Archaeology Society, Ernie, tell us about that before we go too much further. You're president of it.
Yeah, the society's been around since 1903, and it's an organization that is statewide, and it's made up of avocational archaeologists, anybody who's interested in archaeology in the state of Wisconsin. We're most well-known for publishing the Wisconsin Archaeologist, which is a journal that's the longest continuously published archaeological journal in the country. But we have four chapters. There's one in Milwaukee, Beloit, Kenosha, and Oshkosh, and actually one in Horicon, and one in Madison here as well. And every month, the chapters offer public programming. So some of the ones for Wisconsin Archaeology Month are done through the chapters of the Wisconsin Archaeological Society.
Well, and we have an event, and let's just mention that event coming up on May 15th, just because I think it would develop a little interest in people. Talk about it.
Well, May 15th is coming Saturday in Sauk County. There's actually two events. There's one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and maybe I'll talk about the morning one, John, if you want to take a rat. It's in the morning at UW-Baraboo at the cafeteria. There will be the third annual artifact identification showing. And what we do there is we have displays in about four or five archaeologists to show artifacts primarily from central Wisconsin, and then collectors bring in their collections and display them, and then anybody who has anything they want identified can bring that in, and the archaeologists will document those or help them identify what they are, how old they are, what they're made out of, and the importance of those artifacts. And then we document the collections and try to record those sites to work towards the preservation of the archaeological record.
What would be an example of something that someone might bring in or somebody has maybe brought in like last year at the event?
Every year we see amazing artifacts, but just to give you one idea, last year a gentleman brought it. He's a retired farmer, and from his farm he had found an unfinished pipe. It's a purple pipestone that it was carved in the shape of an elbow, but the bowl hadn't been drilled out and the stem hole hadn't been drilled out. And it was amazing to see because John and I have actually worked on researching where that purple pipestone comes from. And just within the last 15 years, we've identified it as Baraboo pipestone. It's coming from veins of a soapstone-like material that is in the purple quartzites of the Baraboo Range. And we've actually identified prehistoric quarry sites where they're getting that pipestone from. So seeing things like that, documenting it, realizing that it's right in that area that people are quarrying the pipestone and then starting to make the pipes but not even finishing some of them was startling to see.
Well, it's got to be fun for people who bring the artifacts in, but also a lot of fun for you guys, too.
Always opens our eyes.
And, John, what's going on in the afternoon?
In the afternoon from 1 to 4, we're going to be out at Natural Bridge State Park, and we're going to be giving a tour of the park. There were some important archaeological excavations there in the mid and late 1950s. We're going to talk about those. Have some artifacts on display that were excavated during those excavations, and there are going to be some games for kids.
Cool.
And so we hope that we can get some of the people to go to UW Baraboo in the morning, have lunch, and then come out and join us in the afternoon.
Okay, and where again in the afternoon will you be?
We're going to be at Natural Bridge State Park from 1 to 4.
Okay. Well, again, if you'd like to join in with a question or comment, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Helgi in Arkdale, we'll go to you now. Thank you for calling.
How's Larry and Ernie doing today?
Pretty good.
That's good. Yeah, I found a discarded sword. It had, appears to be Civil War, and it had been buried in the soil for a long time. It's highly corroded. But I suppose I should take it down to Baraboo and find out more about it.
Hi, Helgi. This is Ernie, and Helgi's been he's been reporting artifacts and sites from Central Wisconsin for, boy, 20 years or more. Haven't seen the sword yet. Yeah, bring it down to Baraboo on Saturday, and we'll take a look. I'm not a specialist in historic artifacts, but John will be there, and John can recognize those things more than I. But be interesting to see. And, of course, it's always important to know where it came from to try to understand, you know, if it is Civil War era or what. So.
Yeah, it's not from Wisconsin. It came from south of the border here.
South of the border. Okay.
Well, all right. Bring it along on the on Saturday.
Okay. Well, you guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call, or email us at talk@wpr.org. There are a lot of sites and a lot of events. I know the Skeleton Bridge site is one. I know there's an event connected with it on the 18th of May, and maybe you could talk a little bit about that site. John,
well,
go ahead.
That the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and other state agencies that receive federal funding are required to go out and complete cultural resource surveys before their projects go ahead. This particular site was discovered during one of those surveys, and to complete the project, the museum archaeology staff at the Wisconsin Historical Society excavated the portion of the site that would be impacted by the project. So Kent Dickerson from the museum archaeology program staff is going to give a talk on May 18th at the museum on the square, State Historical Society Museum on the square, from 12:15 to 1 p.m.
So that's coming, and that's on the 18th.
On the 18th.
And I, as before we go back to the phones, there's another one on May 21st to through the 23rd, the Lost Neighborhood of Junotown?
That's correct. This is something that the Discovery World's Distant Mirror Archaeology Program has been working on for the last two or three years. You can just go out and watch what's going on, or you can go out and participate by contacting them. They've done some interesting things with remote sensing to get an idea of where some of the structures might be located out there, and then they're also going to do some excavation. So we're very excited about that. It's a very interesting project.
So that's the former residential neighborhood of some sort?
It is, yes.
And it's right near the art museum, the War Memorial in downtown Milwaukee. So it's urban archaeology. It's really neat to see.
That is very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Well, I tell you what, we have some more callers online, so let's take some calls. Lynn in Burlington, I guess we'll go to you next. Hi, Lynn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Hey, I was calling because I was wondering, a friend of mine happened to work in construction, and he found a Byzantine coin, what we've tracked back to be a Byzantine coin in this area. Is that common?
My answer would be no.
Not in Wisconsin.
No.
But so the question is why is it there, and the explanations are most likely that somebody collected coins and in maybe the last 100 years or so and obtained that coin through a coin dealer or something like that, and somehow that then got misplaced. I mean, that's the most logical explanation for something like that. We don't find in Wisconsin trade networks between the Native American cultures who lived here, and they lived here for 12,000 years, and they would overlap the time of the Byzantine Empire, but we don't find trade connections between Native Americans in Wisconsin and the Byzantine Empire at that time.
Hmm, interesting. Thanks.
Very cool. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And let's turn to Peter in Madison next. Peter, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I had a question about shovel test. Is that the right phrase for when somebody's going to do an earth-moving project or something in a certain given piece of land? I'm wondering, what is the shovel test exactly, and is it very accurate in predicting whether there are remains or not? How is it performed?
A shovel test is a small excavation that usually ranges from 1.5 feet to 2 feet in diameter, and you dig down until archaeologists would say down to the subsoil, down through the top layers, and we usually screen it in Wisconsin through quarter-inch mesh. It is probably if you're in an area where the ground surface is covered with grass or other types of vegetation, it's really about the only thing you can do to locate sites. It can be good in predicting whether sites are present, but it really depends on the nature of the site and how closely you dig the shovel test. So the distance between the shovel test really needs to be set by how small or how large you think the site is that you're looking for.
Okay, like speaking of Lodi, we did a sustainable trail project to a Steenbrock property over by the ferry.
Okay.
And I just looking at that property, I could tell that's, you know, would have been a prime site for habitation or celebration or whatever Native Americans were doing there. Do you, like, realize that a site is probably has things in the ground, but you allow construction or...
Well, I could start on that, and John can finish it again. But the first thing we do when there's a project that's scheduled to take place that might have ground disturbing actions that might disturb and destroy an archaeological site is we check previously reported records. So if you go to the Merrimack Ferry area, there was a gentleman in the 1930s named Milton Hulbert who recorded archaeological sites and it made maps. And so we have an indication already that there is, in fact, campsites and mounds in that area, and specifically at right just north of the ferry on the Lodi side. And so we know there's something there. Then it's a question of working with the design of the project and specifically working within the bounds. And if it's, you know, John can maybe get into this a little more, but essentially if it's a federally funded project or it's a permitted project through DNR, then you're required to do archaeology. And so then you do shovel testing to verify if the site's there and try to get an idea if it's important enough to save and redesign the project around or not, because not all sites necessarily are worth saving because some of them are too disturbed already. So John and I have done thousands of shovel tests ourselves. But you do find sites, but you sometimes miss them too.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And anything to add to that, by the way, John? I'm sorry.
No, I think that in Wisconsin, if a project is federally funded, licensed, or permitted, then they're usually required to do an archaeological and cultural survey. It includes not only archaeology, but historic structures and even historic landscapes. On the state level, it's not quite as encompassing, but for many state projects, they need to do an environmental assessment as well.
Our guests today, Ernie Bozart, who is president of the Wisconsin Archaeology Society, and John Broyhand, our state archaeologist of Wisconsin, as we talk with them about May, Archaeology Month, the artifacts, the natural bridges, all the events that are going on to celebrate our state's wonderful archaeology. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to join in our conversation, you're most welcome. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org as we talk with Ernie Bozart and John Broyhand about archaeology here in the state. And an email from Adam in Wisconsin Rapids wondering, here's what he says. Should the state statutes be strengthened in order to protect archaeology sites, particularly on private land? What are your thoughts on that, Ernie? Start with you.
Well, I would say yes, but I'm a little biased. But but you know, most of the private development that occurs in the state of Wisconsin is unregulated in terms of archaeology. So unless there's a known burial site, then all burial sites are protected. But most of the camps and villages are not. So you think about lakeshore development in northern Wisconsin, lots of village sites that are just impacted by people building, you know, sometimes the mega cabins that are going up on the lakeshores and things like that. That's just not protected. And Wisconsin, we've used to have, if you go back to 1850s, Wisconsin had something like 15,000 to 20,000 Indian mounds, you know, known in the state of Wisconsin. Today we have about 2,000 left. We've lost 80% of the mounds. You can imagine how many campsites and village sites we've lost. And archaeological sites are non-renewable resources. Once you destroy them, you can never get them back. You can't replant them and grow them again, right, like you can with a forest. So I, you know, it'd be great to have more regulation for private development. Wisconsin, that's, you know, that's a political question, though, so.
What do you think, John?
Well, you know, it is. We might be good to have some more regulation, but I think the other thing we need maybe to do a better job on is a better job on public education and getting the word out about what areas are likely to have important archaeological sites and getting people involved in their identification. There are some carrots in Wisconsin for protecting archaeological sites, particularly burials, mounds, and cemeteries. You can receive a property tax exemption for the portion of your site there that has the burial mounds on it. You can also receive a property tax exemption for an important archaeological site on your property that's not a burial site. One thing I think we would probably agree on, too, is that we really need to reinvigorate a statewide archaeological survey. We think that we know about where about 5% of the archaeological sites in Wisconsin are, and we really need to expand our efforts in identifying site locations, and then using that information early on in the planning process. So we don't put ourselves and we don't put landowners in a position where they've got a project planned and all of a sudden something comes up and potentially can delay that. So we need to do, I think, a better job of being proactive and getting more people involved.
Adam also wondered about the status of the Ross Lake Mound site near Nakusa. You familiar?
I am, yes. We've been working with the landowners of that site for the last several years. It's an interesting Indian cemetery area, a series of conical and linear burial mounds that's also used as a modern campsite. So we've been working with the landowners on that, and they made some changes in how they use the certain campsites and some of the other activities that they have there to help protect those mounds. But it's an ongoing situation, and we're looking for ways to improve the protection of the mounds there, but also allow the folks running the campsite to continue to have a viable camping opportunity there.
Let's turn to Heather in Green Bay next. Heather, hello.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, this couldn't have come at a better time. I just picked up my dad's old metal detector, and I was wondering if you could tell me maybe some etiquette or places not to metal detect, because I don't want to disturb any protected sites or historical sites.
Okay. Ernie?
The bottom line with metal detecting is you can't do it on public property. Okay, that's a violation of regulations. On private property, you have to get the permission of the landowner, and the state of Wisconsin and most of the United States, artifacts found on private property are owned by the property owner. So if you get permission to metal detect on somebody's property and you find something, you have to arrange the landowner to take possession of that. Archaeologists have to do the same thing. In terms of, you know, if you do find something on private property and it's a significant find, then we would encourage you, same thing with non-metal artifacts, stone tools and such, to record those artifacts with an archaeologist so that we know, as John was mentioning, where the sites are, and we can help identify how old things are and the significance of those artifacts. So metal detecting is a fabulous hobby. It has potential detrimental effects to some significant or some sensitive sensitive sites like old copper burial sites, which have metal artifacts in them, and you might be metal detecting and find a copper artifact and not realize you might be disturbing a grave. So the important thing is to report your finds. That's the basics of it.
We encourage people who use metal detectors or who collect artifacts to keep track of where they find them. And ensure their legacy in the sense that if you develop a nice collection, make arrangements to make sure that your collection is passed on either to some other family member or an institution. I know Ernie too has seen many cases where someone had a great collection that they've taken many, many years to assemble, and then when they pass on, it goes to the next generation and it's broken up and sold, and that's always sort of disheartening because of all the work they put into it. And then the other thing is, as Ernie said, we ask you to work closely with the landowner and get them involved in the process and work with them to record the sites.
Okay.
So public lands, I mean, clearly that would be state and federal. What about county?
The Wisconsin statutes refer to all publicly owned land, state, county, municipality, civil towns.
Oh, municipal as well. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And we turn next to Daniel in Northwoods. Hi, Daniel.
Hello. I may be able to add a place to your list. When I was a kid, first year I deer hunted, over on the Nemecaugan River, there was a site where there was a middens pile. It's now called Howell Landing. On the river system by floaters, but when I was first year I deer hunted, there was a middens pile that later a few years later had already washed away. But my question is, why do clearings persist for so long after Indians stopped using them?
Well, that's an interesting question. In some cases, we've worked at some late 19th, early 20th century Native American communities in northern Wisconsin. And as you noticed, yes, the clearings are still there. In many cases, they're starting to very slowly fill in. And I think it's just a natural process that takes some time. In other instances, those openings are maintained as part of a management strategy to keep those openings open, provide more habitat for deer and other animals.
Okay. And then in terms of if someone does think they have, now Daniel said, I think I might know where there was a site, what would be the approach to take for him?
Well,
or anybody else?
What we would ask is that they can send an email now with information about where they found and what the description of what they found and where they found it. Usually township range and section, or you can do GPSs and such. And then we can check the state archaeological site database, which John's office maintains, to see if that site may already be reported, and then we would add that information to the previously reported site. If it's a new site, then we would work with the individual sending that information in to give it an appropriate name and document that site and add it to the site database.
So the place to send the email would be where?
To John's office would be the place to send it.
State Archaeology Office, Wisconsin. What's the official Wisconsin?
Well,
if
you look at the Wisconsin Historical Society website, there are links on there to my email.
So. Okay. That's the place to go.
So Daniel, he mentioned a midden, and I don't know if he's still on or not, but a midden is essentially a dumping of various kinds of artifacts. So my question to Daniel would be, what kind of midden? Is it historic artifacts, or was it stone tools from prehistory?
I think we lost him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That would be something for him to include maybe when he sends an email, or the address is on their website too, if you want to.
They can send an email, they can mail us something. Either way will work.
All right. Let's turn to Paul in La Crosse. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning. A couple of weeks ago, Onalaska announced that when the DOT comes in and redoes Highway 35 through town, they want to improve that whole downtown part. And it's close to the La Crosse River Trail and all the rest of that. And one thing that intrigued me was they said they wanted to work with MVAC to install a museum. I think it was Ho-Chunk and MVAC together would be putting together a museum so that people could understand the lot better. just how the early civilizations, the pre-Columbian histories, were in this part of the country. I'm wondering if that's really going to happen, and how much, when can we look for the museum to open?
This is Ernie, and that project, that is absolutely going to happen. It's been talked about for the initial planning started, quite a while, a number of years ago, and I've been partially involved in that. Going back to the beginning of the program and why is archaeology relevant? Well, one of the relevances of archaeology is that it's also an economic benefit to the state of Wisconsin. And if you think about it, in the Milwaukee Public Museum right now has the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit, and there's thousands of people coming there and expending thousands of dollars to the economy of Milwaukee, and Kenosha is opening a new museum or a new exhibit at their museum that features the mammoth hunters, and the city of Kenosha has identified itself with the mammoth as its logo. Onalaska, the city of Onalaska near La Crosse, is doing a similar sort of thing. They are going to construct a new visitors center in the heart of the downtown area as the catalyst for their entire riverfront redevelopment project there. It's a huge economic redevelopment project. And the start of it is going to be this visitor center, which is going to include an exhibit. And the Onalaska identified archaeology as the theme for this project. And that allowed them to go to the National Scenic Byways funding source, and they already have over $1 million in National Scenic Byways grants because of the concept of utilizing archaeology, the local archaeology, as a unique identity for the city of Onalaska. So the project, to my understanding, is going to be constructed by 2000 or 2013. You could look for the opening in 2013, 2014.
All right. There you have it. Thanks a lot for calling. And Sue in Viroqua up next. Hi, Sue.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question. I want to know if they are going to be in the La Crosse area anytime. And if not, could we take a picture of what we have and send it to that Wisconsin Historical Society site email?
Yeah. Do you have something?
I have a stone tool that might have the potential to be an artifact. I've had it for years and years. It's been a great bookend. And I've always wondered about it, so I really would like an opinion on it.
Just send a picture, put it in an email, and send it to us, and we'll look at it and get back to you. And
great.
It would help it when you take the picture if you could put something next to it to give us an idea how big it is, so a small
Absolutely. Ruler
or a quarter or something like that.
The other thing you can do in Viroqua area is you're not far from La Crosse, and the Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center at University of Wisconsin La Crosse does have a number of professional archaeologists that if you call in advance and make arrangements if you're going to La Crosse, you can stop in and they could identify it. It's always easier to identify it in person, but digital photography and email works really well now.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Or she could stop by on the 15th.
Absolutely. Come to Baraboo. That's right.
Come to Baraboo on the 15th from, what is it, noon? No, it's...
The artifact show's 9 to noon.
9 to noon. Right. Yeah, I said noon, starting at noon. No, it ends at noon. 9 to noon at, and again, where is it at? UW Baraboo Sauk County?
That's right.
Campus there. So Ernie will be there.
I will be there. John will be
there. I tell you what, you can join in now with a question or comment at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org if you have a question or comment. Let's turn to Paul in Milwaukee County, I believe. Paul, hello.
Hey, good morning. Okay, is there any existing state law that governs something that happened several years back when we were doing a major addition and we contracted to import some fill materials, which in this case were a clay material. I don't know what classification of soil it was, but in any case, I got a call and there were skeletal remains in some of the materials being brought in to the site. And so I got a call and went out there and you could, obviously you were a femur. I mean, you could tell these were human remains. But in any case, I was privy to know where this was coming from and made a decision to ignore it, because it would have, you know, delayed two major projects. And, you know, bones are merely earth materials, you know, elements. But I was just curious if they turned a blind eye at where they were removing this earth material. But is there any kind of law that says you have to research it or try to ascertain, history right. of these bones or whatever?
Yes, and Wisconsin's Burial Sites Protection Law says that if you are doing some sort of construction activity, if it's some major project, a quarry operation, or if it's just a minor project, if you're putting on a deck in your backyard, if you think you discover human remains, you need to report those. At this point in time, we suggest the first thing you do is call the local police or sheriff department because in many instances, this could be a criminal case or a forensics case, and those individuals will know what to do if they determine that it's not a forensics case or if the person finding the bones is pretty confident that they're older, then they need to contact us. They need to stop all excavation activities until you can determine if it is indeed a human burial site or what type of human burial site it is, and then we need to decide what happens next. Now, Wisconsin's law, I think, is very practical in the sense that for inadvertent discoveries like this, the projects can go forward as long as those human remains are recovered by a professional. There are other instances where cemeteries and burial mounds have been cataloged. In that particular case, the director of the Wisconsin Historical Society and the Burial Sites Preservation Board does have the option to say no to the project. But in cases of inadvertent discovery, really what the director wants from that point forward is to have a professional look at the situation, determine what kind of a burial it is or what type of human remains they are, remove those in a respectful and professional manner, and then the project can move forward.
Okay. So this was pretty well diffused and pretty much impregnated with soil materials, but the case is, how is this promulgated to the construction industry? I mean, I really wasn't aware of it. This was, you could tell these were ancient remains, so, you know, so be it. Yeah.
Well, again, if anyone finds any human remains in any type of activity, they really need to stop what they're doing and get in touch with the local authorities so that they can come out and determine what's going on. There probably will be some delay, but it doesn't necessarily mean it would be a long delay. It really depends on the situation.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call, Paul. We'll turn to Lisa in Toma next. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Have they done any research since 87 on the Twin Bluffs near New Lisbon?
Ernie, go ahead.
Yes, they have. Twin Bluffs is an outlier sandstone bluff near the town of New Lisbon, and it's been known for at least 50 years or so that there's carvings on the one side of the bluff has a series of thunderbirds and pretty spectacular carvings on one area of it. And then in 1987, there was an archaeologist at that time at Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center named Cindy Stiles, who surveyed the entire bluff and found a few other petroglyphs, carvings around the bluff. So that was published in the Wisconsin Archaeologist, which is the Wisconsin Archaeological Society journal. Subsequent to that, the most recent work that's been done at Twin Bluffs is there's a cave, a sandstone cave, that goes into that bluff. And just 2 years ago, I was involved with the Ho-Chunk Nation in doing the first systematic survey and mapping of that cave. And we did some coring in the sandy sediments in the floor to see how deep the floor deposits might go and if there was artifacts down there. And sure enough, we did find a few artifacts. Got some radiocarbon dates, one of which goes back to 12,250 years, which is pretty old. And so that's the most recent work that's been done at Twin Bluffs in the cave. It's called Crisscross Cave.
Okay.
It's on private property, by the way.
Thank you.
Sir. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Terry in Green Bay, on to you. Hi, Terry.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question. Is there any way to determine, and I know it's really hard to find these artifacts now, but an elderly gentleman I know has been selling his collection off. He lives in the southern part of the state of arrowheads, stone arrowheads and spear points. Is there any way to determine, you know, what was bogus through the years and what is actually the true artifact?
Yes, there is. I mean, you can, if you look at enough artifacts over the years, develop some experiences that are clues to about the artifact, whether they looked used, whether they've been in the soil, whether, you know, sometimes some of the artifacts you see in collections are just, they're just too nice, too pristine. They just look too good. And a couple years ago, some archaeologists did a study of collections, and they estimated from their estimate that 30% to 40% of those collections were made up of reproductions and not ancient artifacts. Mm. So it is something to be cautious about, particularly if you're purchasing artifacts or trading in artifacts.
If you buy artifacts, you will end up buying fakes. There's just no, you know, it's just they're out there. But the biggest problem with the buying and selling of artifacts is the locational information of where those artifacts come from disappears. And so the value to archaeology in terms of understanding, reconstructing the past, and learning about the past disappears, and they simply become interesting artifacts, but not the information's gone.
Yeah.
I should say, too, that some of these reproductions are very, very good. People are now doing some very interesting things with reproducing copper artifacts, and they've developed a method that they can add a patina and make them look very, very old. So it's always a challenge if you're going to buy and sell artifacts, but it's also a challenge just if you're looking at someone's collection to identify them.
And if you have some artifacts that you want to have identified, as we've been talking about here, we've got the third annual Artifact Identification Day where you can bring in your artifacts, and archaeologists from the UW-Baraboo, Sauk County, from the UW-Madison and Wisconsin Archaeology Society will identify them for you. And if you're simply interested in Wisconsin archaeology, I guess, Ernie, come view those artifacts.
Come view them and join the Wisconsin Archaeological Society. We have a website and Facebook. You can just Google them and find them. And but please come Saturday.
From 9 to noon, and then in the afternoon, John, you're going to be doing something.
We're going to be out at Natural Bridge State Park. We're going to have some of the artifacts from the excavations in the 1950s, and we'll have photographs. We'll be giving tours. We can, if you can't make the morning session, we can identify artifacts for you out there in the afternoon, and we'll have some games for the kids. So we're looking forward to it.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I want to thank both you guys for coming by and being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it. Ernie Bozart is the current president of the Wisconsin Archaeology Society, and John Broyhan is the state archaeologist of Wisconsin. It was really fun to have them with us, and those events sound like a lot of fun to me. I bet they do to you as well. So mark that on your calendar this coming Saturday. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a new book that's out on trout fishing. And I'm finding it full of great information about trout, but also some pretty cool information about our culture here in the state and the environment that we have here in the state, especially as it relates to our trout waters. Jay Ford Thurston of Viroqua joins us next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.